Today on Real Life Radio.
They are giants in the land, and we do seem to be like grasshoppers to them. And with the Lord on our side, let's go get them.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. Now, before we jump into today's message, I want to remind you that all sorts of resources for your spiritual growth are available at jackhibbs.com. Things like devotions, podcasts, interviews, previous messages, special events, all this and a lot more available at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And now, let's get into the message. On today's very special edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now in his message called In the Days of Deception, Part 2. Now, this is a message that we're breaking to as we take a biblical look at recent global events in the light of increasing deception. You see, with all the lies and false information out there these days, our best defense is to study and to know God's Word. Satan will always try to influence us through trickery, but God's revelations are always true, and they're not to be tampered with. So today on day two of this special message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that these are the times when evil is called good and good is called evil. False messiahs and prophets will rise up and perform great signs and wonders that could deceive even the Christian. And now in his special message called In the Days of Deception, Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
They ate, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. Because they thought it was a joke, that Noah was a joke. And the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise, as it was also in the days of Lot, they ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. But on the day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even so, notice verse 30, even so will it be in the day when the Son of Man, that's Jesus Christ, is revealed. Again, the reference not to the rapture, but to the second coming. So 2,000 years ago, Jesus said, watch out for these things. And there are two key warnings. As it was in the days of Noah, and like it was in the days of Lot. If you know anything about your Bible, those are horrifically demonized, charged, horrific times. The history books are full of the conduct of that epoch of time with the most bizarre worship systems, paganism that you couldn't handle. If I were to say to you right now what I know about what a priest or priestess did at the temple of the nymphs, you would get up and run out of this place because I would be spewing pornography. And you would be correct. If you think gender changing is new, you're wrong. You need to know history. The Babylonians, the Assyrians, the Egyptians, in paganism, they practiced this stuff where you would literally be able to determine your gender at any given time and you would dress accordingly. Did you know that? Did you think this stuff's new? What you're hearing, it's not new. If that whets your appetite, you can go research this more and more. It's there. My point is this. In the days of Noah, the Bible says that men's thoughts were evil continually. In the days of Noah, children were sacrificed wholesale. In the days of Noah, man was living as though he were an animal. In the days of Noah, there was evil that Jesus said would not exist again until the time of the end. And I would submit to you that we are nearing those days. To understand where we are going, friends, we've got to look at the past. There's no other way around it. I mean, God help our public school system. If you want your kids to be smart, teach them history. Seriously. History is amazing. It's a window into another world so that you can learn about what they did or didn't do, that you know what to do or not do. History. But there seems to be a war on history today. And listen, now we go into times of deception that were deceiving then and deceiving now. And I hope you can handle this. Job chapter 38, beginning at verse 3. Job 38, 3. You guys ready? God says to Job, I love this. Poor Job, like he hadn't had it bad enough. Now prepare yourself like a man. I will question you, and you will answer, or you shall answer me. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? God's talking to Job. Job, where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you understand. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Oh, this is God landed on pretty hard. Or who stretched the line upon it? To what were its foundations fastened? Or who laid its cornerstone? When the morning stars sang and all the sons of God shouted for joy. Mark in your Bibles, the sons of God are angels. The entire Old Testament says the sons of God were angels. When God created everything, the angels and the morning stars sang. God creates and they sing and applaud the angelic realm. Everybody okay? You tracking with me? The word here for sons of God is this Hebrew word, B'nai Ech Elohim, angels of God. Sons of God, angels of God. Fast forward, Isaiah chapter 14, verse 9. The prophet speaks under the influence of God. God is letting us into a window of the past. Hell from beneath is excited about you to meet you at your coming. It stirs up the dead for you. All the chief ones of the earth, it has raised up from their thrones all the kings of the nations. Okay, so somebody's going to hell and God is saying hell is getting excited about your arrival. Whoever this is, they're known in hell before they even get there. They shall speak to you and say, have you also become as weak as we? Have you become like us? Your pomp is brought down to Sheol, hell, and the sound of your stringed instruments, the maggot is spread under you, the worms cover you? How you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How you are cut down to the ground, you who weakened the nations. Can you believe this is in your Bible, everybody? For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit on the mount of the congregation of the furthest sides of the north. That's the supreme place. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Do you hear him? This is Satan. His name was Lucifer. Yet you shall be brought down to Sheol, to hell, to the lowest depths of the pit. He was among the sons of God. He was an angelic creation. You connect this with Ezekiel chapter 28, verse 13. Listen, this is eerie. Ezekiel, about 2,600 years ago, you were in Eden, the garden of God. Excuse me, who what? Every precious stone was your covering. Well, we're definitely not talking about Adam and Eve. They didn't wear stones. The sardis, topaz, and diamond, beryl, onyx, jasper, sapphire, turquoise, emerald with gold. The workmanship of your timbrels and pipes was prepared for you on the day you were created. You are the anointed cherub who covers the one with authority. I established you. You were on the holy mountain of God. You walked back and forth in the midst of the fiery stones. You were perfect in your ways from the day you were created until iniquity was found in your heart or found in you. Who are we talking about? Lucifer, Satan, the devil. An angel fallen. Great power. Archangel. Remarkable. The chronology of this. Keep in mind now. Genesis chapter 6. Verse 1, and all of this, by the way, let me insert this in case you're just jumping in from somewhere. We're talking about deception in the last days, and we're answering the last days' deception will no doubt include unexplainable things, unexplainable phenomenon, whether they are flying or under the water, whether they manifest or not, maybe even technology, maybe even AI. Unexplainable things are all part of or will be used by the great grand deception of the days of deception. Now it came to pass when men, that is man, us, mankind, began to multiply on the face of the earth, this gets weird, and daughters were born to them. Stop right there. You can't have men mankind replicating unless you have male and female. Got that? I mean, I know that sounds shock, but you've got to have a male and a female to make a culture, to make a civilization. To propagate, you have to have a male and a female to make babies. This had been going on for a long time. Something in the narrative changes. Something goes strange. In other words, life's been going on and daughters were born to them. Duh. Well, verse 2 says that the sons of God saw the daughters of man or mankind, that they were beautiful, and they took wives for themselves of all whom they chose. And the Lord said, this is the result, my spirit shall not strive with man forever, for he is indeed flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants on the earth in those days, and also afterward. When the sons of God came into, I'm not going to say the word, you know it. When the sons of God came into the daughters of men and they bore children to them, those were the mighty men who were of old, men of renown, says the scripture. Is this weird? As we look at this right now, watch this, everybody. I'll walk it through. Verse 1, now when it came to pass when men began to multiply in the face of the earth, daughters, completely normal. However, when it mentions it, something's up. This is normal, but why are you calling out upon daughters? Daughters were born to them. Yes, yes, but something's changed. There's something different happening. Whatever's going on with the daughters of mankind, the women, there's been a change. They're either acting different, something's different, something's up. Things are not the same. That they were beautiful. The word beautiful here means that they went to great lengths to endow themselves. Can you believe this? This is Genesis 6. They went, and the word implies that they heaped up tremendous amounts of eye-stimulating procedures. Maybe it's makeup, maybe it's wardrobe, we don't know. But there's an attempt among the daughters of men to go beyond their God-given beauty, to enhance their beauty. They're doing something. So that when the sons of God saw that the daughters of men, that they were beautiful, and they took, the word in Hebrew here to take is to seize them, capture them, to control them. Jumped upon them, so to speak. Took wives for themselves. See the word wives? It doesn't mean I take the weird thing to be my husband. The word wives here is a very gentle way that the Bible is saying intercourse. Something really wild going on here. See, but what's wrong with that? Nothing when it's in the right context. In fact, designed by God when it's in the right context. Took for themselves wives of all whom they chose. The word chose in Hebrew means that brought them arousal. This is weird. Whoever the sons of God are, we know now, they're angels, benign and Elohim. The fallen ones that fell, the Bible tells us that when Satan fell, he took 1/3 of the angels with him in deception. When these fallen angels saw women conducting themselves in an extraordinary or outside the boundaries of sexuality, they seized upon them and cohabitated with them. Not demons, angels. Big difference. Big difference. You see, Jack, that's crazy. I'm reading to you the Bible, people, and I'm bringing it up because Jesus said, know the future as it was in the days of Noah. Can you believe that? Listen up. You think this is weird? Apparently weirder is coming.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
Verse 3, and the Lord said, look at, now, because of what happened, God issues a judgment. That's it. Longevity shortened to 120 years. Look at the result. Verse 4, there were giants on the earth in those days. This is before the flood. Giants. By the way, look this up. Is there archaeological evidence of ancient giants? Go look that up. Does Israel have on display in their museums giant sarcophagus, giant implements, warfare, spears of massive size. I'm not going to tell you the answer to that. You have to go look. You see, we're having to wake up right now to believe all of our Bible and our entire Bible and nothing but the Bible. We just have to be careful in how we read. So there were giants on the earth in those days, and this is troublesome, and also afterward. So Jack, you say there's giants in the land after the flood? Did David confront a giant? Wasn't David way after the flood? Interesting, huh? How come? What's going on? There were giants on the earth in those days and also afterward. When, or how could this be? How does this happen? When the sons of God came into the daughters of men, it's repeated, and bore them children to them. Those were the mighty men who were of old, men of renown, men not normal. When you study the men of renown throughout your Bible, just the Bible, how many toes do they have, the Bible says? You know, the Bible tells you how many toes these guys had. Six, 12 total, six on each foot. How many fingers did they have? Six on each hand. Did you know this? Some of you just walked in here from some church that never opened the Bible. You're like, and I'm trying to be as gentle as possible here. But it's all in line with the coming deception. And if you have the word of God in your heart, you'll identify it, you'll know it. So the word giant, the etymology in linguistics is the word Nephilim. You ever heard of them? Yes. In your Bible, write this down. They're known as, they're not only known as, but there's different types of. The Raphaim, the Nephilim, the Arba, the Zuzim, the Karnaim, the Imim, and the Anakim. All of these are races of giants found in the Bible. And the Bible says they're giants. In fact, the Bible tells us in other places, in 1 and 2 Samuel, that some of these men were so ferocious. In fact, Imim, the Imim, means the terrorizing ones. Imim, they were so spooky. The Bible tells us that in one day, Benaniah went on a day when it was snowing. I don't know why it says that. It just says on a day that it was snowing, Benaniah went and fought two of the giants whose faces were like lions' faces. You see, Jack, I can't believe this. No, but we'll go to Hollywood tonight or we'll watch a movie in the theaters, Marvel, Avengers, and eat popcorn, have a great time. I don't think you'll enjoy it so much now after realizing, oh man, this was based on at least ancient mythologies, but highly possible references of the scripture. Deuteronomy chapter 2, verse 10. Deuteronomy 2:10, the Bible says, Imim had dwelt there in times past, a people as great and as numerous and as tall as the Anakim. They were also regarded as giants, like the Anakim. But the Moabites called them Imim. The Horites formerly dwelt in Seir, but the descendants of Esau dispossessed them and destroyed them from before them and dwelt in their place just as Israel did to the land of their possession, which the Lord gave them. Do you remember when God told Joshua, now Joshua, when you cross over tomorrow, don't be afraid of those, don't be afraid of the people that are in the land. Well, Joshua, remember they sent the spy reconnaissance team over. Moses sent the 12, remember? Joshua and Caleb were of the 12. They go there and they're sneaking around and they come back and the report was this, no way are we going in, no way are we crossing the Jordan River. No way. Why? There's giants in the land. They're huge. We were like grasshoppers. And God bless Joshua and Caleb. Joshua and Caleb, they said, you're correct. They are giants in the land, and we do seem to be like grasshoppers to them. And with the Lord on our side, let's go get them. Well, when they go into the land, listen, this is going to answer a question that your friends throw at you. When they go into the land, some of the places that the children of Israel invade, God says to them, now when you get there, I want you to kill them, and then I want you to burn all of their dwellings burned their bodies, their wives, their children, and even their animals, burn it all. If any of you have ever been or are in science, biology, chemistry, if you're a nurse or a doctor or a researcher, you know something called autoclave. If you are going to destroy virus or disease or sickness, you must burn it at temperatures that are extremely hot. Okay? Every hospital has got an autoclave department. You say, man, that's awful mean of God to destroy the children. What do the donkeys do and all the animals? That's terrible. What you don't realize is you study your Bible and you find out that those cultures were cultures that were polluted by not only their worship systems, but many of them were in associations with the giants themselves. They were DNA hybrid freaks. And God says, you got to clean it all. Now remember, when Jesus said in Luke 17:26, it's going to be like it was in the days of Noah. Jude, in your New Testament, you can turn to the back of your Bible. Just before the book of Revelation, you have the book of Jude. Listen to this. Okay, if you haven't been tempted to leave the building, you will be now. But I want to remind you, though you once knew this, everybody knows this, that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt after destroyed those who did not believe, and the angels who did not keep their proper domain, the angels who did not keep their proper dwelling place, but left their own abode. Scholars will tell you, by the way, that word abode means home or skin. He, God, has reserved an everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of the great day. How come? Wow. What's the big deal? Why are you picking on angels? As Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them in similar manner to these, having given themselves over to sexual immorality and gone after, look at the word, strange flesh. The word means unauthorized flesh, unsanctioned. Flesh you're not supposed to touch. Are set forth as an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Ladies and gentlemen, that is a weird passage of scripture. In Genesis chapter 6, verse 9, the Bible says, this is the genealogy of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations. Noah walked with God. Isn't that a sweet verse? That's like a Hallmark verse. That's kind of cute. I want you to circle the word perfect in your Bibles, and I want you to go research that. It means physically sound, physically complete, physically intact, untainted, unblemished, without defect. Noah was without defect. That's a weird thing to say about somebody. You are untainted. Why did God wash away all those in the flood? The Bible says for a lot of reasons, but one of them is there were giants in the land. But Noah, he's physically intact. Is it possible that Noah's DNA was not polluted by whatever was going on? Say, how can you talk like that? I don't know. Call me crazy, but that's how people talk today. DNA engineering, experimentation. So church, I want to challenge you with this. Was Jesus really telling us the truth? That it's going to be like it was in the days of Noah? Are you ready? Listen, yes, I do understand. But Pastor, that's predominantly during the tribulation period. I understand that. You are theologically correct. But things are spooling up. People are seeing things traveling at 13,000 miles an hour and they're making 90 degree turns. Why? Because they're not from this world. And they're not physical either. They're demonic. Those are spirit creatures faking, pulling off ET narrative to get you to warm up to, or to get people to think, oh, like we showed you last week, they're here for our good. At this present time, man is scrambling to make his last ditch effort to govern himself.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, with his special message called In the Days of Deception, Part 2. Thanks for listening today, and our prayer is that you've come to know Jesus personally and that you are eagerly awaiting for his return. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio.
Hey, everybody, really excited to let you guys in on a great book that is written by Jeff Kinley and Todd Hampson. And here's the title. Are you ready for it? It's a big one. The Prophecy Pros Illustrated Guide to Tough Questions About the End Times. It is a great book. This book will walk you through those tough things about Bible prophecy and how simple they can really be when you answer the Bible with Bible.
A copy of the Prophecy Pros Illustrated Guide to Tough Questions About the End Times will be sent to you when you donate to the Ministry of Real Life today. Get your copy at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.